You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Okay, the Warrior Girl Podcast, episode 10. Today's episode is going to be about dating apps and human trafficking. It's something we kind of don't talk about a lot, but it does happen. It can happen to anyone. I'm here with my guest co-host, Miss, you can say your name.
Harriet Kamak.
Mm-hmm. So today we're going to discuss this. Recently, while I'm bringing this topic up, I was on a dating app not long ago. Mm. And I actually, I've been on a few dating apps, and then, you know, you swipe left, right, people mm-hmm. swipe left, whatever, right? And particularly, this person contacted me through Instagram, particularly. Still didn't pay attention to it till the person just kept on bothering me and messaging me. I'm like, what the heck you want? And they got to talking to me. I said, okay, I started talking to them a little bit. Not a bad person to talk to. And all of a sudden, they didn't want to talk on Instagram no more. They wanted to talk on Google Hangouts. And it was like kind of weird right there. It was like a red flag to me, like, why you want to talk outside of that mm-hmm. arena for me? It's just, and this is just a virtual way of how they are luring people to me. This is how the virtual way work of it. And so the guy starts talking on there. We talk on Google Hangout, and I got to ask him a few questions, the same questions I asked. What caught me was he had an age difference. One minute he said he was 35. Another time he said he was 40. Now, and then one minute he said he was this real wealthy person, and then all of a sudden, he owned this military income. It was just kind of, I'm like, wait a minute, something is just not adding up right. And it really caught me. He wanted me to start sending him nude pictures. I'm like,
that
what?
Early? Wow.
Yes. Started asking me, can you send me nude pictures? He sent a picture of himself, but I didn't send him none to me. So, you know, you wasn't seeing me. Change clothes. And, he got upset about it, and then he started asking me for money.
Wow.
Like, yeah. And so one thing I noticed is that he was doing I call it the Romeo type of pimp, the alluring and that type. Mm-hmm. So us being grown more so, you could know the signs to look for. But mm-hmm. I think about it for a person who's young on stuff like that, not even on a dating app probably, but just Instagram, and somebody talks to them and approaches them that way, mm-hmm. they can get caught up without even paying attention to the red flags and signs.
Like absolutely. That. It is very easy, especially in the virtual world that we're in now. Mm-hmm. We're broadcasting virtually right now. I'm not even in the same room where you are. Mm-hmm. It is very easy. And this has been an ongoing problem that we've been talking about for years now, how easy mm-hmm. it is for people to become lured into and not realize that they're a part of it. And especially for young women. And especially because everybody, they appeal to a certain subset of people who want to be a part, who want to be an influencer. Mm-hmm. They make it sound as if this is so glamorous. You can become an influencer. Just send me some pics. The red flags, of course, like you picked up, were the age difference. His age varied. His income varied. Because, of course, mm-hmm. he's virtually hidden. You can't verify him. So he can say, I'm a rich man. Well, okay. Well, show me your tax returns. What's your W-2s look like? Did you file a W-2? or did you do a 1099? Let me see which one you have. That's one. Number two, you're all here claiming to be rich, but what you're doing on here looking for, because there are specific apps that very wealthy men use. Very wealthy men don't go to Instagram. They are specific apps that target them. Right. So they get an invitation by email mm-hmm. Because of their net worth to join a specific group. So they get an app, they download it, they go into the app, put in their credit card number on whatever they desire, whether they want somebody who is 13 mm-hmm. but looks 17, or they want somebody who is 12 but looks 15. Meet mm-hmm. me at the Hotel Ritz-Carlton, like, you know, our boy Ted Cruz ran away. and went to the Ritz in Cancun. That's how it works when they're wealthy. So if he's on Instagram telling you he's wealthy, probably not wealthy. The second red flag, of course, is the sending, asking for nudes, like straight up. The first this dude is asking for nudes. Like, dude, are you new to this? Usually they don't ask for nudes right away. So it is just amazing to me how they continue to revolve around this and so on. But I wanted to later on, I don't know how long you have, but I wanted to go into talking about the other sites that are already out there where human trafficking is a big problem, like the OnlyFans, Pornhub and so on. I wanted to talk about that later. Okay.
You know, we got time. So we got time, you know, on that. We have a full hour on here. So that's why I said, when I got with you to talk, I said, we're going to talk because I have a good time. so we can just go.
I mean, seriously though, and people need to, I don't know if anyone will call him, but girls need to understand this and parents need to insist. I've been saying it for years. You are the best vanguard of protecting your teenage daughter and your teenage son. You have to ask questions. You must ask questions. You must insist on looking at their cell phones. You need to go through the apps that are on their cell phones, because a lot of recruiting is done through the most popular apps. TikTok, Instagram. I don't hear anybody talking about TikTok, but a lot of teenagers. Are the traffickers, so are the pimps, so are the people looking to lure people. So parents need to ask those questions.
You know what, one thing about my mom, one thing, even though it wasn't what they call email, had just kind of came into place and being online with the computer in the home really good. But you know, that's before the phone, cell phone really became, you know, super popular like that. And my mom literally would watch, like, she knew she had a restriction on a time we had AOL, and it was like the parent control restriction or something. She knew exactly what was going on, you know. So she was, oh God, like, what are y'all looking at? What is this to? And you know, it was that kind of parent guard that you could go to almost anything to even look for research. You know, for a school project, you know. So, but she was always looking, like I said, even with outside of the virtual world, she was like, okay, who are you going to hang with? And who is their parents? How many people at the house? Is it any boys over there? You know, how many people in there? You know, she was, what are they eating? I'm like, dang, y'all. It got one time so ridiculous. I was scared she was going to ask that person for their social security number. I'm like, I'm waiting to see.
But see, that's what you need. That is exactly what you need, because the parenting is the best stopgap to prevent a lot of trafficking. I have met too many. I was telling my daughters the other day, I've met too many trafficking victims who will. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I missed that little bit. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was saying I've met too many trafficking victims who will tell you that the family are who set them up to be trafficked in the first place. You know, because either one, lack of parenting, mom is too busy, she's with her boyfriends, or she's on drugs, or she's absent-minded, or she works too much so she's never at home, or she brings home different boyfriends. That's a big red flag right there. Number two, if she has sons, she's not asking him, where is he playing? Who is he playing with? So he gets involved in all kinds of groups and all kinds of networks. And number three, we need to police the social media apps that our children are watching. I have children myself. And when cell phones became our reality, I asked the same questions like your mother did. Who are you talking to? What apps are you using? Who is that? Where are you going? To this day, I have a 19-year-old daughter who, she's just now turning 19, but when it was hell on heels for a while there, because I asked questions and then I found out I was the only parent in her friends' parent groups who were asking these questions. So it seemed like I was unnatural because I was, who are you with? Who is that on the phone? Why are you talking to them now? Hang up the phone. You have homework to do. So we need to do that because they're out there. And, you know, to be honest with you, I am disappointed to say this, but human trafficking is not going to go away because there's a market. There are nefarious individuals who want to have sex with underage children. Yeah. There are whole internet groups on the dark web who exploit children. And there are people who put their children up to be exploited. And the government is not doing enough because they're overwhelmed, because people don't cooperate. The FBI will go to collect people, but the people will not come forward. The victims themselves are not coming forward because they're afraid. They're not coming forward so they can have a case to prosecute them on. There are networks and a lot of money involved. There are crime syndicates for whom, just like 30 years ago, they used to have girls on the street and collect money. It has not stopped. No, it's not just girls, as in women, who are sex workers. It's no children. There are whole syndicates and organized crime syndicates all over the world who proliferate and who have vested interest in keeping human trafficking going.
And that's so true because we forget that a lot of times parents have a lot involved with it, or family or friends have a lot involved. And it's really weird when they sit up here and think it's not involved. You know, oh, it only happens in another country. It happens in our own backyard. And it comes, I actually knew somebody who was sexually abused in their family. And, you know, just from some boyfriend, a mother's boyfriend, you know, one of the mother's boyfriend, like you said, coming in and out the house while the mother was sleeping, he's over there molesting her child, you know? And I'm like, what in the world, you know? And this is why I'm funny when parents be, I'm not saying they can't date, but when you got a girl or got kids, it's kind of funny, you know, because people could date you just the day. Just
access to your kids.
Yes. And it's kind of really that's the thing that really weird. I remember a friend of mine who got married. She said she really waited till her kids got out of school, out of high school, and kind of went to college before she really started looking. And she said, because I couldn't just date anybody because they'd have been looking at my child.
Absolutely. And there are women like that. I'm one of them. I refused to date while my daughters were growing up because I recognize that there are people who date you just so they're pedophiles who date you just so they can have access to your children. And we don't pay enough attention. I also think there's no way that you don't know. You suspect something is going on, but you choose to ignore it for whatever reason. You choose to ignore it because it's not economically to your liking, or you just don't want to accept that such a thing could happen to you.
And, you know, it's just those things that we have to really think about, you know, that anybody can be a target market. I always say, Ms. K, like I say, here I am on some of these dating apps and some of these things, just general app, and somebody's approaching trying to get money and trying to do something else, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, thank God this wasn't really something huge and operative, but God forbid if I was a teenager and didn't really know and it was huge and operative, my goodness, I could have got caught up and sent somewhere else. And then what in the world, you know, because that was just an idea to me, like, my goodness. And I'm a grown woman on here.
Right. So imagine a child then, and especially there's another dynamic to this too, that they also target people with disabilities. If a young girl who probably is taking meds for her moods, or she has been diagnosed as bipolar, she's a target. So they know how to approach her. They profile her. And they know that it's easier to seduce her as opposed to someone who is more aware of what is going on around her. And mm-hmm. so they seduce them and tell them that I can give you a better life. You don't have to put up with that. Because when they live with their parents, they might have restrictions. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go anywhere because the parent is worried about the very same thing. So they'll say, well, I'll give you the freedom that you've never had. That sounds like a goldmine to a 14-year-old who is not emotionally developed to understand that someone is trying to take advantage of her. So she's most likely to be seduced into that line of thinking and will disappear with that person, not recognizing that she's going to be trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you and I are sitting back and saying, oh my God, how could that happen? Well, it's very easy for it to happen because she is. He's going to give her what her parents would not give her, freedom. That's the illusion. So she's going to do everything to please him. Then she thinks it's love. She gets confused. She thinks it's love. He allows her to do it. So by the time she wakes up and realizes it, it's too late. They're already in so deep. They can't get out of
some
it.
As I look at some of it, as I look at this stuff, it just amazes me how it's right under and right in front of us and we don't really see it, you know? And like people need to, a lot of times parents need to stop, letting what they call that telling all their business on Facebook. That is another red flag.
That's another red flag. When my children were growing up, I didn't allow them to have Facebook pages, so they went over to Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not put them on Facebook because Facebook is a problem worldwide. I think it's time for Facebook to be shut down worldwide. Facebook has allowed every kind of game, every kind of evil on the planet to persist. That is not to say it's not on Twitter or Instagram as well, but Facebook is far more accessible and is used. It has less controls and less filters. So it's easily more accessible to people with nefarious intentions.
Oh, yeah.
The government apparently doesn't have enough resources to police it because they're distracted by all kinds of other things. So what you're finding is the more we learn about human trafficking is the more we're seeing where parenting could have prevented a lot of it. And mm-hmm. in the absence of parenting, now we are stuck, right?
Yeah.
You think about ways in which your teenager basically are free today, right? They get home from school. Your parents are at work. They get off the bus or they get dropped off with friends. If you don't believe me, just watch American shows. Just watch Lifetime. And you see how free they are. And I'm like, who are these kids and where are these parents at? How come you have so much freedom when you're 14 and 15? But they do. And they get home. And they get home by 3:30, 4 o'clock. The parents don't get home until 6, 6:30 or 7. That's 3 hours. They can go anywhere and do anything. When the parents get home, they're resentful. The children don't want to join. See, I'm not that kind of parent who is so free-willy that I don't ask questions. So it's never going to be easy for a teenager with me because I'm going to ask the difficult questions. So a lot of what we're seeing in human trafficking could be stopped. Now, I want to talk about this site, Pornhub, that most of us are trying to get to shut down. We finally got MasterCard and Visa to stop using, to desist using their users from using credit cards to buy Pornhub. Now, people post videos to Pornhub. A lot of it was also revenge porn. Everybody knows what revenge porn is. You break up with a guy while you're dating him. You send him nudes and whatever. And then when you break up with him, he suddenly develops an aversion to you and he posts whatever videos or nudes that you had sent to him consensually. Mm-hmm. He posted, right? So that's how Pornhub got started. So people were posting pictures. People began posting pictures of girls and children in all kinds of sexual positions and so on. And you could go on the site, use your MasterCard or Visa or American Express and pay for whatever you want. So a lot of people were trafficked on that site. They were showing videos of grown men having sex with children. One girl said that her life was ruined because there was a picture of her. She's now 21. There's a picture of her on there from she was 12. And she said, at some point, she's now in college. She said, at some point, I'm going to grow up and that picture is going to be out there of me and my children will see it. And this is what happens. A lot of these things are preventable. People need to take better care of your children. As far as I'm concerned, if you're not going to be in it for the 18 years to take care of them and watch over them, then don't have them at all. But that's don't true. Have your children and then you leave them to the wiles of people. You drop them off with your family members because you want to go have fun because you think that having children is fun. So you're going to drop them off or you have just random people babysit them, watch all kinds of videos around them and subtly introduce the idea of adults having sex with children as normative behavior. You see where I'm coming from?
I see exactly where you're coming from because, you know, people don't think about that, but I actually had a neighbor who allowed her kids to see pornography on the screen. Literally.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you can walk in and literally see a person having sex on their TV. It was no big deal in their household. I'm like, what? And my mother said, we ain't going over. Look, we ain't going over there. Because me and her went in to drop something off to our neighbor particularly. And it was just going. I'm like, wait, what is this? Hold up. First, I'm thinking they just hugging and kissing and doing all like rubbing each other and stuff like that. They was having plain out sex.
See, those people don't realize how you set your children up for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the controls we've been talking about for years, like you have a coach, somebody who befriends your child, an adult who befriends your child. You need to watch out for that. You can't be so busy and so distracted that you don't ask yourself the question, why are you befriending my child? And you're an adult. It's okay for someone to see greatness in your child, but from a distance. Watch the body language. Watch your child. Don't just drop your child off at some person's house and not ask questions. Who else is over there when I drop you off? I know we, especially for women who and parents who have to work odd hours or unusual hours, and getting their child to school is problematic, right? So they drop them off at somebody else's house for them to pick them up or drop them off because they're always at work. I understand that. I went through that. There were some things that I had to stop doing when it became necessary. I couldn't work some jobs anymore because I didn't trust the people who were going to take my daughter to school. Mm-hmm. And so I made difficult choices. I get that. It's not going to work for everybody. But you're going to have to say to yourself, this is a question as a parent you're confronted with. Do you want to fix this now or do you want to deal with it later? Pick your choice. Because when it, you see where I'm coming from. I don't even need to say how the later comes. The later could come with, you think teenage pregnancy is the last thing that you're going to be worried about? Think again.
Yeah. It's so much that they can do and so much goes on. You know, you really have to watch. You know, you have to watch, you know, at not just a relative's house and friend's house, even in certain, even at school. Religious institutions, you know, sometimes you say, oh, we trust Minister so-and-so or something.
I don't trust nobody.
Exactly. I'm funny like
that
too. I trust
no one. I am like that. I trust no one. I know enough. I was sexually violated as a child when I was 6 years old by someone whom my mother trusted. Notice, my mother trusted someone. That person sexually violated me at 6 years old.
Oh,
that person was an upstanding member of the community and very involved in the church. I grew up, I don't trust anyone because I know what they do to children. So I don't trust anybody. So my children were not dropped off here, there, and everywhere. And then I would disappear to go have fun or go to a party or go to a club or go to work. Hell to the no. No, no, no. Because it was, like I said, the choice was you're going to deal with this now or you're going to deal with this later. I picked my choice. I chose to deal with it now.
Yeah. So, I'd be so surprised at how sometimes people just don't think, Ms. K-Mock, about this topic, period, of just, you know, of the issue of human trafficking. It's like they'll know about it, but it's like They don't
think
really...
it doesn't happen. They think it happens in a foreign country. Let me explain. Let me break it down for y'all. Human trafficking has three parts to it. There's sex trafficking, there's labor trafficking, and there's organ trafficking. The part that we've been so far been talking about is sex trafficking. Sex trafficking is where people are used in exchange for commerce. If you go to the Department of Justice's website, it provides a very clear definition of what the United States government considers human trafficking to be. There's also labor trafficking, where people are brought here illegally to work. And in exchange for their labor, they're given some sort of consideration for housing and or never wages. And so they're trapped in those situations where they're exploited and used a lot. We come across a lot of people like that. We go into establishments that are operated by people who we don't consider to be traditional Americans. And you go into their establishments and you can tell that something is off. You see that you go to the convenience store and those people are always there every day of the week, morning, noon, or night. If you show up, they're always there. You possibly are looking at labor trafficking. Your travel documents have been confiscated by the person who brought them here or lured them here. And you ask yourself, well, how did they get in here? Well, you see all those big containers down at the wharf? People need to burst them open. Sometimes I just wish the government would just burst them open. There are people in some of them. People come here in non-traditional ways. They come here on ships. Everybody did not go to the U.S. Embassy in their respective countries and get a visa to come here.
Nope.
Most of those people are not. Just recently, I read a report somewhere that said the Romanian gypsies. Imagine that. Romanian gypsies were caught at the border between the southern border between us and Mexico.
Oh, wow.
So they're worried about people from Central America. I was worried about people who were coming here from other countries. I was like, are you guys kidding me? You really think it's just people from Central America coming here? I'm like, you missed the boat. You're focused on racism and the context of brown people, and you're not looking at the other people who are exploiting the southern border, right? So found a group of Roman, they call them gypsies because they're from Romania, they're gypsies, they wander. And just think about how much money it costs them to travel from all the way from Romania to come to Mexico to get in. That tells you that those are organized syndicates. Well, in the same way that those operate is the same way that sex trafficking operates. They also bring girls here, young people here, to be trafficked as well. They bring them in from Shanghai. They bring them in from China, from other parts of the world. And they're trafficked here because America is this big open country with big open states and huge land masses that we don't traverse or we don't police because we're not a communist country. So we don't, you know, ask people questions about, hey, where are you going? What you doing over there or whatever. We don't do that. And I'm not saying we should. I don't want that either. But we need to be aware. So people often ask you and I, well, what are the signs of trafficking that we should look out for? Well, it's you and I know this, but it's something that you and I look at every day. And we say to people, you know, maybe you, when you're talking to someone, look at how they respond to you. Are they afraid of talking to you? Do they have to obtain permission from an adult? A full-fledged adult is talking to you, but they have to look at another adult to see if that adult gives permission to talk to you. You see what I mean? Then you have to ask, how are they dressed? Are they dressed appropriately for the daytime? Well, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's sunny outside. Why are you wearing something shiny? Right? Or my favorite one is they're escorted when they go shopping. Don't you just love seeing that one? You see some adult and you see some guy lurking around behind her. Sometimes he's carrying her purse. And you can tell that they're not married because you can tell there's no harmony there. It looks like it's more of an authoritarian relationship. And yet he's there, right? That's trafficking. And they know you when they start, when they realize that you are watching them, they will depart. They will leave the area really quickly. I'm not asking you to play the police. Let the police do their job. Just get location. Get a tag number if you can. And then you make an anonymous 911 call and leave it at that.
Yeah, that's a good tip though, a good way of how to address the situation. Because I was at a meeting one time, And somebody said, well, how we address this situation, you know, should we just go in and do what we got to do? I'm like, whoa, hold up now. You be done got killed. You're hooked on a person be done got killed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I said, you know, you take the tip down, call the hotline, take down everything you see and everything that's going on. And then some people just think that is just kind of stupid. And I'm like, this is for saving your life, because guess what? They can, if I get up and try to do something like that, they can shoot me or whatever they're going to do.
Right. You know, or they follow you home and see where you live. And then you and your loved ones are right smack in the crosshairs of some trafficker who has millions of dollars on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to put yourself in the crosshairs.
And then we have our culture today in society is so sex saturated. And I mentioned this before, me and you talked about this previously, but it's even in these music videos, they're just over sexicized, you know, to the point,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had a music video last year that made headlines galore with two rappers. There was Cardi B and it was another girl. I don't know the other girl's name. But they made a song called WAP or something. And mm-hmm. if you hear the song a little bit, it's like crocodile price. Sound like prostitution personally to me. That's what it sounds like. And I'm like, what the heck? Are you glamorizing prostitution? Like, it's so beautiful to do? Like,
well, you know, part of that, by the way, before we go any further, I'll talk about that. Talking about trafficking and hotline numbers, I wanted to provide your listeners with the trafficking hotline number. It's 888-373-7888.
Mm-hmm.
You can also send a text message. So let's say you take a photo of someone's tag, right? Or you were just playing with your phone or appear to be playing with your phone and you saw something suspicious. You can also text it to 233-733. That's simple. Mm. There you go. It's all anonymous. You don't have to give your name, phone number, and so on. Then, of course, the Detroit police has their own vice squad on human trafficking, 313-850-6026. And, of course, you can just go to FBI.gov. They would love to hear from you. I can promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want these nefarious characters are out there. But back to the story about the music videos that apparently glamorized. The problem with our culture today is that there's no censorship, and there is no, you. If you and I emerge as saying maybe a music video glamorizes or promotes the idea of trafficking, then the whole society turns on you.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, you're stopping their commerce, you are envious, you don't want people to get better. And I am the first one to jump out in front of that and say, before you start saying anything, let me just remind you of something. I was a beauty queen and a model in my youth. So I don't envy anybody for their looks or whatever. Hands down, I probably could compete with some people if I wanted to. Let's just be clear about that. Number two. We want to have a healthy society in which all members of the society are safe.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing something that perhaps is not contributing to that, it's not enough to say that, well, that's not my problem. I'm just an artist and I am making money or so on. Then you're being irresponsible. I am an author and a speaker. I can write books about sex all day long, but is it responsible of me to promote ideas on sex that somehow depict violence against women? No. So I don't write about it. I'm an artist. I'm a creative. I can do that if I want to. Do you see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it comes back down to individual responsibility. It is not very popular in our culture today because people want to say, well, you can't tell people what to do and you can't. And that is exactly why we are in the mess we're in, because nobody wants to be censored. And nobody wants to be held accountable to the standard that if we're doing something that is not safe for everyone else, we perhaps should re-examine it. Mm-hmm. We perhaps should ensure that it is. This is not communist culture. This is not any idea about Red China or any of those authoritarian styles of leadership. No, it's just that if you as an artist with such a following is going to do something that does not make all members of even your community safe, then you perhaps should re-examine yourself. Now, I can't stop you. You don't have to listen to me, because, of course, the first thing you're going to blow off and say, well, people are envious and it's because I have more money than you. Girl, go sit your ass down. Let me check you out in 10 years and see if you will still have the money, because all that you have right now is being promoted by a music label that glamorizes the violence and the violent sexual activity against girls and women. And you are part of it. So go sit yourself down. Take a seat. Go exactly. Sit down.
That's why I got to have you up there with me when I make statements like this. Because that's just how point blank I be. We like, look, you just messing up the whole thing. Because I always say this, think about it, if it was your child, y'all. Then they'd be the first ones on every media platform.
You see, some of those people, perhaps the way they raise their children, it makes you wonder too. Are they really conservative in how they raise their children? Do you really raise your children, or do you have boundaries around your children? Or do you promote this idea? So you would want your teenage daughter, your five-year-old, to sit on some grown man's lap, because that's what you're doing. That's exactly what you're promoting. So don't come at me, or if you're welcome to come at me, I will take you on every day of the week. Let's talk about success. Let's talk about it. And I want to see your longevity, because people years ago made just as much money, lasted as just as long, and they did not promote sexual trafficking. They did not promote human trafficking, and they did not promote sexual violence against women. So Come on, I will talk to you. I want to have a conversation with you, because I want to tell you the ways in which the promotion of your videos are harming women, and how in this culture today, they're viewing young girls as sexual tools, rather than to see them. Nobody's saying, oh, well, they're not my child, so I don't care about them. But when they are picked up and they're raped, right now as we speak, right now while we're having this conversation, there are girls being kept in somebody's basement right this moment. Mm-hmm. There are girls being kept in somebody's basement where some grown-ass men are going down there to have sex with them, then get back in their cars and go home to their wives. So don't tell me that what you're doing is responsible, because the label is paying you to promote it. Go sit down somewhere. Have a seat.
Exactly. You know, and when it, see, and then, you know, something I guess I go by and was taught sowing and reaping, we all talk about. When you sow those type of seeds, it comes back. So when they want to sit up here and say, not think about it, they got kids themselves. Because if their kid gets trafficked or gets called into something, or even if they kid get kidnapped and they asking them for money for ransom, then you're going to believe the problem. Believe, like, well, when you say something, when you promote this video.
Absolutely,
so you shouldn't care.
Absolutely, you shouldn't care. And see, people like that have layers and boundaries around them. So While they're famous and they're enjoying their 15 minutes of fame, they have layers around them. So they have security who accompanies their children to events and so on. So they can get away with it for now. But what about Mary Jane out there? What about an ordinary person like myself? I don't have layers of security between myself and my children and that. I am their layer of security, me and my tools that I have. Yes, I have tools. I have a certain set of skills, just like Liam Neeson had said in his movie, Taken. Right? But think about it, right? So they have layers, so they can get away with saying it, because right now they're popular, they're making money for the label or whatever agenda they're promoting, so they can get away with it. But the fact of the matter is that you're still, that doesn't make you less culpable. You're still responsible. I'm not a politician, so I'm not seeking your vote or your endorsement, so I can tell you like it is, whether you like it or not. You don't have to buy my books. You don't have to listen to my podcast. By the way, Down to Earth, it's available on 8 different platforms, including this one's podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. You don't have to do any of that. But I'm here to tell you that if you are promoting sexual violence against women and girls, whether you are an artist or not, that is not artistic expression. That is the promotion of sexual violence. You are wrong today, and you'll be wrong tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you should be held accountable. And I am holding you accountable.
Yeah, because you cannot hide your kids from every single thing. We know that now. I mean, back in the day when I was growing up, even though my mom didn't have it on the TV, but you can go to, like I said, the neighbor's house was showing stuff. You can go to...
That's normalizing sexual behavior. Yeah. And we do it all the time. And the movies today, let's just be clear. We live in a real world. The movies today are normalizing incestuous relationships. It's normalizing grown men admiring young girls, calling them sugar babies and sugar daddies and all. That's normalizing that. That is normal. That's all that is doing is saying it's normal. What is your problem? You are outside the culture. You are X out of the culture. I'm going to cancel you because I'm like, go sit your ass down. Did I tell you that I wanted your endorsement? Did I tell you that I wanted you to define what culture is for me? Go sit your ass down. And I'm saying that with all equanimity, because the time has come for us to start holding folks accountable. You cannot normalize sexual violence against girls and children and women and think that that is ever going to end up anywhere else. And I do not apologize for preachers and ministers who don't endorse it. You can't follow them anyway because they're as far from Christ as the heaven and the earth is from each other. We saw where they endorsed a sex trafficking king who was sitting in the White House. The man purchased a paid $200,000 for his wife. And you're all sitting up there saying, oh, this is a man that God has chosen. God had nothing to do with that. That was all you and your racist intentions. Exactly. Choosing a man who promoted racism and division amongst Americans. And you liked it because you liked racism and what it did. You liked white supremacy and what it did. It got you more votes. It got you endorsements. And that's what you like. So you can't tell me that, in other words, what I'm saying is we've gotten so used to this being normalized that you and I talking about it and saying it's not normal makes us sound abnormal. Because now you watch TV, I call it soft porn. There's so many ads about underwear on TV.
Oh, ain't it?
That it's become normal. The clothing that young girls wear today, when I say young girls, I'm talking about children. The clothing that they wear overly sexualizes young girls. As women, our bodies are bait. Even the clothing that we have available to us to wear is overly sexualized. Everything is, I'm beginning to think I should start dressing like wearing a hijab or something like that and start... I'm beginning to think there's something to it and start wearing clothes because you put it on and it's okay for you to have fun with my body. It's okay for you to think you can grab women by the pee. This is something that I had to say something about because when you promote a leader who says it's okay to grab women by the pee and you're a Christian and you are a recognized leader in the community, you are normalizing sexual violence against women.
No,
so it doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to be an artist, a singer who's brash and bold because what happened to you that traumatized you, you have now normalized your dysfunction. So because it's now been normalized to you and it's dysfunctional, you want everyone else to think it's normal? No, they're paying you to say that.
Exactly. It is so crazy. That's why I love these conversations with you because we both think on the same page when it comes to stuff like this. Because, you know, they have made everything so normalized sexually that we haven't gotten, like you said, we haven't gotten used to it. Like, oh, that's just normal when it really is abnormal. And that's the shame. It's graceful that abnormality is becoming more of a normal.
It's like you go to Instagram and these girls are posting their OnlyFans names. Like I was on Instagram and I ain't kidding you. I saw ads popping up. Some young girls were following me and all they ever posted were pictures of their bodies. It didn't occur to me that they were either soliciting or they were using my page as an access point to get to other people who follow me. It didn't occur to me. I just scroll through, you know, like everybody else, you just keep scrolling. it took me a while to understand. And I said to myself, wait just a minute. They just got you because they're normalizing it. So if you don't block it and object to it, it will keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? And so they use these access points. They go after men. I'm telling you, these people are slick. They know what men like. They know what images to post on their social media pages, whether they're on Facebook, Instagram, or so on. And before you know it, he's inboxing. Then because it's virtual, he thinks, you know what? Nobody's seeing me. You know, the school board I work for, you know, the law firm that I work for, they're not seeing me. So I can just tell them I would really rather. Everybody is doing it. Nothing is wrong with it, right? So I would really want to see what all this sex, having sex with a 15-year-old is all about. I hear it's rocking people's world. I want to try it myself.
Yeah, and curiosity killed the cat. you know, right? So because I was actually when I took a marketing class in college about 4 years ago, I actually discovered how they market online stuff. So anytime you view more than one thing, they start sending stuff similar to that or where you can get it. It's the same
algorithms. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same way they're doing it with pornography and human trafficking. If a person is looking for stuff like that, they'll start saying, hey, you can get girls over here. Hey, you can go hook up with a guy over here. Or they'll start inboxing you or sending you stuff your way. So it's a market. It's part of marketing strategy as well. Like it's called aggravated marketing, where it's in your face, man, and you finally, oh, let me check into it. So it's part of the marketing scheme world. You know, you just,
well, it's part of what we are talking about with social media, especially with Facebook. They use these algorithms. So let's say you, the thing I don't like about it is how it's all connected. So in your phone's browser, you go to Google and you drop into Google. I'm looking for a 2018 Mercedes-Benz SL. Yeah. Next thing you know, all over your feeds, all of your social media feeds, all of your emails, you start seeing cars, ads for 2018 Mercedes-Benz. You never told anybody you were looking to buy one. You were just looking at what the car looks like. Well, it's the same thing. So somebody in the privacy of his car or in his toilet, or he's on his toilet or something when his wife isn't looking, or in his basement toilet when his wife is not looking, he types in looking for 15-year-old girl. Before you know it, guess what happens? That's exactly what starts popping up. It's algorithms. So they look at whatever keystrokes and what you have requested. And before you know it, it starts showing up everywhere.
Yeah. It's
right? And so we need to, people do this. And everybody is now defensive about it. You know it's wrong, but you're defensive because you're saying, well, that's what I want to do with my body. I can do whatever I want to do with my body. There is such a thing as autonomy and agency of yourself. Well, think about it. If you want autonomy and agency of yourself, do you think a 12-year-old has autonomy and agency of herself? You really think so? You have not seen that what you're watching on OnlyFans, you think it's some, she's enjoying this, isn't she? No, she's not. There's somebody back there probably with a gun pointed at her, threatening her and her family that if she does not perform for this camera, somebody is going to be killed.
Yeah, it's a real dark world with this human trafficking. People don't think it's real, but it's a dark world. It's really crazy. And the more we're aware about it, the more we go for policies, the more like we're talking about issues related to it now. You know, just talking about it is awaring people. And it's a part of the awareness, and it's a part for people to look into and see. You know, so that is what I have to say about the whole thing altogether.
But I also think that we need to have more. This is the area that I think we need to move into. There's not enough being done in this area to hold people legally accountable. It cannot just be that it's a misdemeanor. It has to be. Here in Michigan, for instance, we did a great job with the previous administration under Bill Schuette. And as bad as the previous governor was, yes, he who created the Flint crisis, they did pass legislation that helped victims of trafficking so that they're not criminalized. So that they because when they're pulled over, the guy gets away. The John gets away, but the girl is criminalized. She ends up with a criminal record. Well, they've done a good job about that in removing that. But I still think that the people who solicit, there should be more than a slap on the wrist for the people who solicit. So now they're legalizing solicitation, or I shouldn't say legalizing, they're normalizing it. So all these strip clubs that people go to, you call them exotic dancers. You do realize that most of these women that you've seen there are not 19 or 21, despite what they tell you. You do realize that. Okay, think about that for a second. But the people who are outside the club providing security are off-duty cops.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, it's normalized. So grown men go in there. And they're like, yeah, I'm just here to have dinner and to enjoy some entertainment. They refer to it as. Okay. Mm. So who is that up there dancing? You really think that's a 19 or 21-year-old? No, because by the time they're 19 or 21, they're not marketable, according to their trafficker. Their marketability tends to cease at 16 or 17, so they're not the ones out there dancing. The people who are up there dancing are younger. And no one is paying attention. So who owns strip clubs? Mm. Right? Who owns strip clubs and who are operating them? And who are providing security to them? That's the question. Right?
That is.
So those are the things that we need to look into. So there's when you talk about sex trafficking, you're talking about this, it runs this whole gamut. Because people are thinking, oh, well, it's just a young girl who got snatched off the street. That is rare, unless they are taken from other countries against their will. Usually, they are lured and seduced into thinking that they will be coming to the United States to work. And through working, they will be able to provide for their families back home. That is very rare. They're usually brought here and they're exploited sexually. That means they are used for sex for someone else's pleasure, and they have no autonomy or agency of their body, so they can't choose whom they have sex with. Nobody enjoys this. I have yet to talk to a victim of sex trafficking who has told me that she enjoyed it at 13 and 14 and 12. Some of them started at 6 years old. I have yet to speak with anyone who has ever told me that, you know, it was an enjoyable experience. I seriously enjoyed people having sex with me when I was 11 and chained to a basement stairs.
Oh, my God.
So this is the reality. Right now, as we speak, there are people right now, right here in the city of Detroit, who have girls chained in basements. They're in Warren. They're in Detroit. They're in West Bloomfield. They're in cities all over the state who have girls chained, and they're having sex with them for the pleasure of others. So ladies, you have your man and your husband, and you see, you know he smells like sex. You know he came home smelling like sex, but you love being married. You love being in this relationship because it makes you feel important. It does something to you, and it does something to how you identify in the community. So you ignore all the signs, knowing that he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing, but you ignore it.
You know, there's one thing too. I just before we end this up, Wanda, still because it's going so fast. But I was
just started.
Yeah, it's going. We're near 3 o'clock. But let me just say,
oh my God.
Yeah. So let me just say this real quick. A lot of times in trafficking, a lot of the people who the customers, they have fetishes, they have certain sexual fantasies, and they. These girls are who are being trafficked are their fantasy or sexual fantasy or fetish. You know, it's not, you know, it could be even in a grown woman. You know, it doesn't have to be a teenager or a child. Exactly. It can be a grown woman.
I encountered one that actually shook me, and I never went back to one of those scenes once. A raid that was conducted by the people in authority. I won't say who they are, the feds. I never went back to that. I could not handle it. There was a girl, there was a woman there. She was 27 years old and she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She was 8 months pregnant. And she said there are people who have a fetish of having sex with a pregnant woman.
Yeah. There.
So when you describe fetishes, they exist. Again, it's the trafficking of humanity, the trafficking of human flesh. Simply for the pleasure of others. Somebody's paying for this.
Yes.
That is just what is wrong about it.
It's a, you know, a fetish of all that. It's a lot of fetishes. You know, there's even fetishes of people who are plus size, you know, and who have a disability, or even they call them little people with dwarfism. You know, they have fetishes mm-hmm. for people like that, you know. So let's not forget about people. Oh, they don't want to touch people like that. Wait a minute, traffickers. And people have fetishes. If they can't get it one way.
Let's just be clear. Before you go, let's just identify this. Traffickers are people who profit off of the use of human flesh, whether it's labor trafficking, we talked about organ trafficking, and sex trafficking. The people who are active participants are regular people. They're regular Joes, regular Johns, regular women. There are some women, too, who will even encourage their husbands to go get a girl for the weekend. Let's meet her up in a hotel somewhere. Because people have, yes, that happens too.
Oh, yeah, that's another one.
She's either joining in it because she knows her husband traffics in it. He does this. And she's participating in it. So it runs the gamut. You are still exploiting people and their economic vulnerabilities.
Yeah, it's exploiting. It's exploiting. You're absolutely correct. So... I just love you, Miss Harriet K. Mack. You're like a mother to me in this industry of the Against the World of Human Trafficking. And I'm so glad you were on here today, because we got to do another show, another episode again, me and you, because we just have so much in common and we just tear this place up. And it just be, this is like a warm up, y'all. This concludes our episode of Warrior Girl Podcast, and thank you, everyone. Bye bye. See you at the next one.
All right, got you clear.
Okay.